Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network and all of our platforms across all of the great streaming sites where you can find us, whether that be iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Podbean, whatever you like to use. There's a good chance Locked On Podcast Network is on there covering all of your favorite shows across all of your favorite sports from, I don't know, MLB, NFL, NHL, college football, basketball, whatever the case may be. There's a Locked On show that's tailored to your favorite teams. Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every day. And brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Whenever you need a great tasting protein bar that's jam-packed with nutrients, only 180 calories, Built Bar is the one for you. Go to BuiltBar.com and build your dream bars today. All right, so today, I think what we're going to do is we're going to start our look into the offseason for what I think the priorities for Atlanta should be as we head into the 2020 offseason. I'm not really going to talk about the World Series. I'm not really feeling like talking about that for a while. We'll see how that goes. I'll maybe recap it once it's over. But you guys are Braves fans, so all you really care about is what happens with the Atlanta Braves. So for this offseason, we're going to jump right into this here. There's a lot of money coming off the books. As best I can figure, about $70 million coming off the books. That's obviously the contracts of guys like Marcell Ozuna, Cole Hamels, Mark Melancon, Shane Green, as well as a few other smaller names coming off of the salary overall coming off the books. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with the effect of the coronavirus on the MLB payrolls. We know Major League Baseball lost about $3 billion, according to Rob Manfred. That's about the total sum that they lost this year with no fans in attendance. So we'll see what happens. I have a feeling it's going to be a very cheap offseason for a lot of managers or for a lot of GMs. And it does present a pretty interesting opportunity. Now, there's one team that we know is going to spend a lot of money, and that's going to be the Mets with the new GM Steve Cohen over there, or the new owner Steve Cohen. He's going to want to make a bang. He's going to want to come in guns blazing. I have a feeling he's going to offer a lot of money to a lot of people. If you were asking me who I think JT Realmuto will end up with, I think it will probably be the Mets, along with one Trevor Bauer. But Bauer is an interesting name because a lot of Braves have him at number one on their priority lists. I do not agree with that. It's not that I think Trevor Bauer is bad. He's obviously going to win the NL Cy Young this year. Had an absolutely incredible season. He's a guy that throws a lot of innings. Is a very, very dominant pitcher, too. I just don't think starting rotation is going to be the number one priority. The number one priority is pretty glaring, and it's the first name I mentioned coming off the books, and that is Marcell Ozuna. After an absolutely electric season where he almost won the Triple Crown, if it hadn't been for Freddie Freeman having the season he had, Marcell probably would have been the MVP. I'm still betting that Freddie's going to win MVP. But Marcell Ozuna, perfect fit in this offense, hitting number three. Started out hitting number four, but when Freddie moved up to two, Marcell moved up to number three, and it was just an electric lineup from the get-go. Hits the ball just extremely hard. Do yourself a favor and take a look at his StatCast data. It really is simply incredible. When you see how hard he's able to hit the ball, nearly every single at bat, it's just something to behold. And there's a lot of people when Marcell was signed thinking, just going by his numbers with St. Louis, oh, he's not that good, he's not worth $18 million, they should have just brought back Josh Donaldson. And those were people that didn't take a look at what he'd really been doing. And when you take a look just at his StatCast data, 96th percentile in exit velocity, that's how hard the ball comes off the bat, 97th in hard hit percentage, XWOB, I don't really use the expected stats all that often because there's some ways that those can get kind of fooled around. But his barrel percentage, which is hard hit rate and exit velocity combined, 94%. His slugging through the roof. And pretty much all of his expected stats are all of his actual swinging, his batted ball profile, above 95%. Absolutely incredible at the plate for him this year. Just kind of shows you what we've all been seeing, what we saw all year long, and what we saw in the playoffs when he was a member of the Cardinals. Everything he hits is just hit incredibly hard. Little bit of the strikeout percentage there, but his K percentage was pretty good, right around average at 48%. Sprint speed a little bit higher than people would think at 58%. But when you look at what he was able to do all year, it's just, this is a guy who fits absolutely perfectly in this lineup. This is a guy who whenever you're facing, whenever an opponent's pitcher is coming in, he's got to face Acuna to start off, and then he's got to go into Freddie, and then he's got to go into Marcell Ozuna. You can't just lay in pitches to any of the top three, because all three of those guys can hurt you badly. When you've got Acuna leading off, he's a great threat to steal. If not, Freddie's a great shot to either drive him in or move him to second or third. Ozuna's a guy that's going to, more times than not, drive that run in with a chance of big-time three-run homers and really get out of the gate quick. Now, there's no doubt he's made himself a lot of money based off of this season. There's a few things going on for 2021, though, that kind of make that a little bit murkier. Number one is that we aren't entirely certain if the universal DH is going to be kept in play for 2021. Manfred, when he was asked about the rules that he wants to keep, he mentioned the runner on second base in extra innings, and he mentioned the three-batter minimum, I believe. Now, the runner on second in extra innings is just, it's a stupid rule. I don't know why he's so obsessed with that rule. They mentioned the universal DH, and he said it's something that they wanted to bargain on. Essentially, what he's saying there is he knows that the MLBPA, the players, or the PU, I'm sorry, the players union and the players both want it, so he's going to try to hold it over their heads and make that be one of the concessions for the new CBA, which would be a detriment to the fan base. Really, the universal DH was an absolute success. It allowed a lot of parity between the leagues this year. As you saw, the National League was able to add and take away one hole out of the lineup by just getting pitchers out of there and being able to target players that traditionally would only stay in the American League, guys like Marcell Ozuna, et cetera, guys like that, guys who don't play good defense but are really helpful with the bat, and you're able to actually just open up the league and create more jobs. You make careers last longer for these guys that have been NL guys or guys that have been really, really good. As they get a little bit older, their defense starts to wane, and you're able to save their legs and extend their careers by moving to the DH. So I don't understand why that wouldn't be one of your number one priorities if you're Rob Manfred, unless you just want to have an easy thing that you can say, all right, that we conceded on one point when you know you're not going to really fight it. But that's for the owners and the players union to come to grips with. I'm hoping that the universal DH stays. If it does, Marcell Ozuna has to be back. If it's not going to be Marcell Ozuna, when you're looking at the free agent market, there are not a lot of names. If you're not willing to pony up for Marcell Ozuna, there's no name that's going to be cheaper than Marcell that gives you what he provides. I'd like to see something along a 3-year, $60 million contract, somewhere around $20 million per year, maybe 20 to 22. The fact that you can throw him in left field, you don't want to for any length of time because his defense is just absolutely gone by this point. But if there's no DH, that actually could work in the Braves' favor a little bit. Now, some AL team can just go and throw buku money at him. But these players, they tend to kind of go by who's going to give them the most money overall, not who's going to give them the most by year. So if I were Alex, this would be a time where I might consider trying to, if you aren't sure that the DH is going to be there in 2021, I'd still go for a 3-year deal. What I would do is I'd backload the deal. And if I'm sure that the DH is going to be here in 2021, then I'm just going to go ahead and make it even across all 3 years. If it looks like the DH might not be back until 2022, I'm just going to backload that deal, be a little bit cheaper on the front end, and then just throw more money at him in the final 2 or 3 years. I don't know if he'll get a 4-year deal. Just looking at his numbers, you would expect he might. But DHs generally don't get gigantic contracts. JD Martinez, when he was a free agent, when he signed that deal with the Red Sox, got a much lower deal than what he was expecting and what his agent was actually expecting him to. Scott Boras, obviously his agent, if you guys don't remember. But he's also one of the free agents. He's a guy that if you think that they're going to be allowed to look at video again, you could try to buy low on JD Martinez. He's 33 now, coming off a pretty bad year for him. But he's a guy that certainly had the ability in the past to kind of show you what he can do. I like to use SpotTrack for a lot of this stuff, but I don't really like going off their market value because sometimes they tend to weight things as if it were still 4 or 5 years ago when guys were just getting broke off all over the place. Like, they've got his current market value at about $23.7 million annually. I don't see it. I think he's a guy that if you have the DH and you're not going to be able to bring back Marcell Ozuna, I think JD Martinez is a guy that you could get to buy in a little bit cheaper. You could kind of get him on a buy low. It wasn't a fantastic year for him at all. George Springer, I think, is going to be the biggest name on the market. If you're not going to pony up for Marcell Ozuna, there's no way you're going to afford George Springer. It's just not going to happen. Plus, I'm positive there's going to be a qualifying offer attached to him. The Astros lose their first and second round draft picks, so they're going to be using QOs on it. On Springer, I think Correa will be the guy that they decide to keep, but Springer will be given a qualifying offer so they can recoup a draft pick. Shouldn't be allowed to do that, but that's going to be what happens if the MLB didn't want to actually punish the Astros for a while. There's not a lot of great options if you're talking about plug and play replacing Marcell Ozuna. And I know you'd say, oh, well, we got the 1 year deal with Donaldson, and then we went out and Marcell Ozuna had this type of year, so we should just be able to plug and play. The difference is Marcell Ozuna has always had the batted ball profile to back up what he did. When you look at who is left on this market, just not a lot of guys that really strike you as guys that you could put in that 3 or 4 spot in the lineup. I'm over the time limit for this segment, so I'm going to go ahead and take the first break. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of those other guys, and I'll continue on talking about just how paramount I think Marcell Ozuna himself is. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this on Locked On Braves. Are you tired of your protein bars tasting like the bottom of a shoe? I was too, and I'm here to tell you it does not have to be this way. Hey everybody, this is Dylan from the Locked On Braves letting you know about my friends at Built Bar. Maybe you've heard about them before. Maybe you're wondering why you haven't heard about them for a little bit. Well, I'm here to tell you that Built Bar is back and better than ever with 6 brand new flavors to go along with their 12 delicious originals like German chocolate and toffee almond. Now they've got flavors like the brand new cherry barcia. They've got cookies and cream. They've got so many fantastic flavors, but it's not just about the flavors. They are jam-packed with everything you need in a protein bar and nothing that you don't. High fiber, high protein, low sugar, low calories. That's the name of the game, and nobody does it better than Built Bar. Absolutely fantastic. And if you use our promo code LOCKEDON on BuiltBar.com, you'll get $10 off your next order, and you'll be in the running to get a brand new cooler with every purchase. That only goes while supplies last, so you got to get to it quick. Go to BuiltBar.com today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get your $10 off, and do it now. Do it fast within this week, and you can get a cooler courtesy of your purchase from BuiltBar.com. BuiltBar.com, here to build you right. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Braves, and what is our, I don't know, a good title for this one. I guess I'll just call it priority signing, maybe priority seeding. We'll see how I feel today. But what we're discussing today is what is the biggest priority for the Atlanta Braves as they head into the 2020 offseason, or who is the biggest priority for them? I have said, and I will continue to say, I don't think it's pitching. I think the biggest priority is re-signing Marcell Ozuna. I mentioned in the last segment that there's not a ton of guys that you look at and think, oh, they could just immediately replace him. You could say that there's guys you could take some chances on. Maybe you went to Cespedes, maybe J.D. Martinez, but that's only if you have the DH for 2021. And even so, there's nothing to say that those two guys would be better than what you got for Marcell. Now, if you do have and you do know that the DH is going to be there, you know, a guy like Nelson Cruz, I'm probably the biggest Nelson Cruz fan that doesn't live in Minnesota or Texas or Seattle. Nelson Cruz is one of my absolute favorite players in baseball. I don't think he's going to leave Minnesota. I think he's going to re-up there. I think he's going to retire there. There's some other interesting names. Edwin Encarnacion is another name. He's a big power guy, but he's not as good of an all-around hitter as Marcell Ozuna, and he has basically zero ability to play any defense, including first base. He's just an awful defender. If you're trying to say who's going to be more versatile, who's going to be worth more money, Encarnacion will be cheaper. He just signed a 1-year deal with Chicago last year, only made $12 million. So if you think you're going to have the DH, then that's a guy that you can go with. But he didn't have a good year. Yeah, he hit 10 homers, but he hit 157 with a 250 OBP, only slugged 377. That is not strong. You can look over the homers and realize that he basically only hit homers. You know, you can say, oh, cool, that's good to have, but that's not somebody you can pencil in the middle of your lineup. That's not a guy, I mean, all those homers, he was still only good for 71 WRC plus. That lets you know how bad the rest of his offense was. He's getting older. He still has power, but he's not the guy that you're going to feature in the 3 or 4 hole spot in your lineup. And that's one of the things that's going to get overlooked a little bit if you just start saying, well, Alex has done these 1-year deals. Why not a Jock Peterson, somebody like that? Jock Peterson would be a very good addition to this ball club if you're going to platoon him, if you're planning on platooning him with Adam Duvall. They're essentially the same guy. Duvall's a better defender overall, but Jock and Duvall bring a lot of the same profile as big-time power. Not really great as far as their hit tool goes, as far as, you know, they're not going to maintain high averages, but we've kind of established that quality is a little bit more important than quantity, especially for teams like the Braves, and good teams nowadays generally value quality of contact, especially when you've got, you know, 1,000 pitchers who are running K rates of like 9 to 10 per 9 and throwing 99 to 100. the quality has to be more important. And a guy like Jock Peterson is a better fit for this team than Markakis would be anyway. Now, that's just going to, I'm just going to assume that Markakis isn't back, although you can't really assume that. I didn't think he'd be back this year. I was still surprised that they picked Markakis over Matt Joyce, but Joyce is a free agent again. That does anything for you. But that's not a guy that you want to have in the middle of your lineup every single day. Those are platoon type of guys. In Markakis' case, more of a fourth outfielder. Joyce, probably ideally a little bit more of a fourth outfielder. You could probably get away with platooning him, but Jock would be somebody that you platoon with Duvall. Because I love that people are all about some Drew Waters, but he is not ready for the show yet. We saw that in spring training. Nothing in his batted ball profile has said that he's ready to go. He's got to get his K rates under 35% first and figure out how to take some walks. And if he's going to play a corner, he's going to have to be able to hit for some power. And either way, even if Drew Waters were to make the team out of spring training, that still leaves you a gigantic hole at 3 and 4. And Travis hit in the 4-hole most of the season. He kind of wore down as the season went on. He had a great season, but it's not enough. You can talk about lengthening the lineup and lengthening the bench, and that's very important. We saw that in LCS, how important it is to have quality depth, as the Braves just didn't have the same depth as the Dodgers, but it doesn't replace a bona fide stud. It doesn't replace a centerpiece of your lineup. So if you're going to replace Marcel, you're going to have to replace him with another centerpiece type of player, or your offense is just going to take a major step back. And this is not the type of This is not the year for Alex to take a step back as far as his team construction. This is one where we just got one game away from the World Series after having 19 years of not winning a playoff series at all. So there's some goodwill there with the fan base, but it's not the type of goodwill that you're going to keep by taking a step back in really any area. This is a team that looked like they were maybe one player away from being in the World Series right now. This is when you go for it. This is when you go for the throat and go for the kill. If you're not going to go all in on this offseason, when are you going to go all in? And I know the money is going to be tight and the money is going to be difficult. This is going to be a really difficult offseason for Alex Anthopoulos, but I really didn't like when he was asked about on 92.9 The Game, and he had to bring up, he brought up some excuses in case it doesn't get done. Things like, we'll see how it goes, but you just don't know what's going to happen as far as the money and blah, and the market and blah, blah, blah. I don't like hearing my GM say that. You're building in an excuse. And for Marcel, it goes just beyond. It doesn't just stop at his baseball skill. While he's a perfect fit on the field for this lineup, he's also perfect for this team in this city, in the locker room, in the dugout. He keeps the team loose. He's the guy that started the whole mix it up that now is invading the Falcons, as you've seen Julio Jones last Sunday doing the mix it up on both of his touchdowns. He's a guy that gets along well with all of the younger Spanish players, guys like Ronald Acuna and Ozzy Albies and Johan Camargo, Christian Pache. He's just the type of guy you want on your team. He's a fun guy. Freddie is still the man on the team. Acuna is still the most talented player on the team. But Marcel's the guy that kind of brings everybody together and bridges that gap. He's able to keep it fun, keep it joyful. And then he's able to just do vicious things to baseballs. And it just works out so well. I can't envision the Braves going into this offseason without saying, we have to re-sign Marcel. And I know you want to extend Freddie Freeman. I do too. I think Freddie's a pretty good candidate to sign an undervalue extension. He shouldn't have to, and you shouldn't expect him to, but I kind of think that he's going to. I know he wants to finish his career as a Brave. I have all the confidence in the world that he will be. But number one has to be keeping this lineup, which was one of the best lineups I've ever seen for Atlanta Braves. You have to keep this lineup intact. Now you can add to it, which I would explore a Jock Peterson, who's probably not coming back to the Dodgers. Is the only reason he's even there this year is his trade to the Angels fell through. I would seriously consider adding Jock Peterson to go along with Adam Duvall, who will be healthy by the time opening day rolls around next year. Christian Pache is going to be staying in center field for the foreseeable future. Acuna will be staying in right field. So your defense is going to get uplifted just by the fact that Ronald gets to play right field and you've got Pache patrolling center. So don't take any steps back. And you can say, adding Pache, the net defense is going to erase the loss of Marcel a little bit in the lineup. That's not how it works. We're not trying to just be good enough to get there. We're trying to be better than everyone else. So we got a really good look at the Dodgers, who are a pretty good blueprint for the Braves to follow. They don't have the money and the payroll that the Dodgers have. But the Dodgers, not only do they have that payroll, they've got one of maybe the top two or three player development staffs in all of baseball. Andrew Friedman, the GM there, is a guy that worked over Alex Anthopoulos in his time in LA. As a matter of fact, all four teams that made the championship series were at one time Andrew Friedman disciples or Andrew Friedman himself. So it's a smart tree. Alex has seen the type of work as far as development that needs to get done. The difference is Alex is going to have to find a way around this kind of money situation. $70 million is plenty to re-sign Marcell Ozuna. Alex just has to be willing to extend, to give him a multi-year deal. And I think 3 years could do it, but if it's four, that's fine too. Anywhere around the $20 to $22 million AAV, that's what you're looking for. Marcell is just over 30. I think he's 31. Playing mostly DH, you're going to be saving his legs. It's not like you have to worry about his age. It's not like he's having to patrol left field every single day. You can't afford to do that. The only way you could upgrade from Marcell this offseason would be if you were to bring in George Springer. And like I said, there's no way you're going to pay for George Springer if you're not willing to spring for Marcell Ozuna. It's going to cost a draft pick and a ton of money. So for Alex, he can say what he wants on the radio, but really, we'll talk about pitching, which I think is still a pretty large priority. We'll talk about that in tomorrow's episode. I'm running out of time for today's, but the number one priority, the thing that has to get done for the Atlanta Braves is to bring back Marcell Ozuna. Am I confident that it's going to get done? Not at all. But if you're asking me what has to get done for the Braves to be as good a team next year as they are this year, that's the thing. You have to bring back Marcell Ozuna, or you have to exchange him for somebody of equal or more value in that lineup. We'll see how it goes. Alex has a long time to play with. He's got a long, long line of work in front of him. We'll see what happens. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll discuss the pitching side of things, which I think is still a very high priority. So we'll be back tomorrow to talk about pitching right here on Locked On Braves.